Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 73. Hi, Gretchen.
Hey, Jeff. Woo, 73.
Happy inauguration.
Right. Yes. Happy New Year. Happy 2009.
Happy New Year to our listeners. It's a new year, 2009. Not 2008, not 2010. 2009.
Yes.
So, and Gretchen shows up here with a funky hat on.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of grief for the hat. Maybe taking it off, but I like it. It's a little knit. A little 20s cloche hat.
It's a little 20s cloche hat.
Yes.
I was going to wear my cloche hat, but I elected not to today.
Oh.
So our phone number, for those that care to call us, is 206-333-1003. That number again, 206-333-1003.
Okay.
So we took care of business. Now, we're having an inauguration coming up.
We are.
Are you excited?
I am.
Are you going to watch it online? Are you going to watch it in person? Or what are you going to do?
Well, I'll be at work when it actually happens, but I am recording it, so yeah.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a little schedule of what's going on Tuesday, just in case we get this show out before Tuesday. It is Sunday that we're recording. In fact, we're at halftime of the Cardinals game, where the Cardinals are just whipping up on the Eagles. 24-6. See what happens in the second half. I guess all you will know what happened. That is so weird. Future me will know very soon. All right. What happens here is on the inauguration day is the gates open at 8 a.m. And the inauguration, I don't know the gates to where, because people are already getting on the mall. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. They're already staking out their ground.
Right.
So oh, I don't know which mall, North Park or...
Maybe to the paid seats.
Oh, maybe to the paid seats,
Or the seats with the tickets, the ticketed seats. I'm sorry, there were no paid seats.
The festivities are scheduled to start at 10 a.m. in the west front of the U.S. Capitol. They include music selections by the United States Marine Band, followed by the San Francisco Boys Choir and the San Francisco Girls Choir. Then Senator Dianne Feinstein provides call to order and welcoming remarks, invocation by Rick Warren, your favorite, musical selection of Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Boo. Biden will be sworn in by Chief Justice John Paul Jones, John Paul Stevens.
John Paul Jones. Whoa.
Musical selections by John Williams. I guess looks like they have Itzhak Perlman playing Yo-Yo Ma. Gabriela Montero on the piano.
Who's who of the classical world.
And Anthony McGill on the clarinet. And Jeff A-Strike on the
piano.
Obama will take the oath of office using President Lincoln's Bible.
Right.
Administered by Chief Justice John Roberts.
At 11:56.
Scheduled around noon. Yeah, 11:56, is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's time down to the minute, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Down to the minute because they want to play Hail to the Chief exactly at noon.
Why is that? Is that like a tradition?
Well, he officially becomes president at noon, as specified by
right?
the Constitution. So we've got
okay.
to be sworn in and ready to go at noon. So
if he's not ready by noon, is Bush still president? Or is there like a minute or two period where the country is in disarray?
Oh, you know.
What does the Constitution say about that, Miss Smarty Pants?
Bush is going to be sitting right there. I couldn't remember if the outgoing is sitting there, but he will be. He and Cheney will be sitting there.
Well, when that would be weird, you know, if there's like a terrorist, like a 9/11, right then
right
at 12
there.
O'clock at noon, like...
Who's in charge?
Huh? I got my inauguration address to give. I can't do anything now.
Right. I got to get ready for the parade.
We shouldn't laugh about that. It's kind of scary, but that would be kind of an interesting time for them to do something,
right.
I guess.
Well, did you hear all the security about the train ride?
Well, I'm sure
Philly?
There is, but no.
Well, it's over. The train was yesterday.
Right,
the road
right.
Philly down, but every single mile of that in all directions from air, water, land was completely covered to keep him safe. Because can you imagine, everybody knows where the train's going
right,
to go.
Right.
So any kind of bomb or any kind of attack, it was pretty clear where it was going to be.
Right.
You know, so pretty much at any given time, too. So
what do you mean they had it covered?
Well, they had to do a lot of... the CIA had to do a lot of prep work to make sure that it was going to be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like when Lincoln rode the train, you know, in the 1800s that there weren't the same kind of problems that we have now.
So. Right.
So I don't think he was all that worried about, although look what happened. It didn't exactly end
no.
positively for him.
Well, then after that, after he takes the oath, he gives the inaugural address. Then there's my favorite, is the poem by Elizabeth Alexander. Can't wait. Then the Benediction by Reverend Joseph Lowry.
And I've heard that that's supposedly more important than the invocation.
Oh, is that right?
In terms of church hierarchy.
Really?
The benediction is what the call to all people to go out and do. And so that actually has more weight than the Rick Warren speech.
Huh. So. Then we got the national anthem by the United States Navy Band Sea Chanters. And then after the inaugural address and all that stuff, he will escort outgoing President George Bush to a departure ceremony before attending a luncheon at the Statuary Hall. I wonder what will be served. And then the 56th inaugural parade will make its way down Pennsylvania Avenue from the Capitol to the White House. You know, I love this parade because the floats are awesome. Right? They're all decked out in flowers.
Yeah, I like the flying Garfield.
Oh, I know. That's going to be my favorite.
He's such a classic.
That is going to be my favorite. I love that parade. Love it. Then later that day, the President's Inaugural Committee will host 10 official inaugural balls.
Mm-hmm.
And besides those 10 official ones, which I'm not going to name them here, but there's a bunch of unofficial balls as well.
Right.
So there you go. That's the day. That's my schedule.
Tuesday.
That's my schedule.
What you're going to do? Are you taking the day off so you can sit home and watch that?
No, I'm there.
You're doing it at work? Oh, you're going.
No, I'm there. You're going. Obama wanted me to come. I was like, dude, I got to work. And he's all like, Jeff, you got to be here, dude. And I'm all like, dude, I got to work, man. And then he's all like, you don't care for me anymore. And then I'm all like, no, I don't. Now that you're Mr. Big Fancy Pants. No, that conversation actually did not happen.
Oh, all right.
Just to make sure our listeners understood that.
Well, I thought you might have been one of the 400 people that Virginia businessman Earl Stafford invited. You know what he's doing?
No, tell me do.
He has rented out the JW Marriott that has unobstructed views of the inaugural parade. All 335 rooms. He's going to spend $2 million by the time he finishes. He's hosting this get-together for 400 disadvantaged citizens. He is bringing them all to Washington from 22 states. He's taking care of all their expenses. He's bringing in gowns and tuxedos. And it'll be all $2 million by the time he's done. He's inviting disabled vets, indigent children, terminally ill, battered women, disadvantaged, homeless, and the elderly.
Wow.
Yep. And what he hopes to do is he's going to have prayer breakfast and a luncheon on Monday, and then there's going to be two inaugural balls on Tuesday, and they're going to have one-third of these attendees mix with business leaders and other people of means. And then they're going to have seminars on topics such as budgeting, life skills, healthcare. This is all called the People's Inaugural Project. And so they're going to send them home with help from counselors and doctors and social workers. And they're going to try to give them support from the nonprofit Stafford Foundation once they get home. So altogether, he's rented all 335 rooms, four suites, $200,000 worth of food, and a rooftop view of the parade.
Huh. Very nice.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of coverage for what he's doing here.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't been following, so I didn't see that.
So you didn't get invited,
huh? I'm surprised. You know what? I haven't checked my mail for a long time, so it's probably there.
He had over 7,000 applications for the slots. Yeah.
Well, hey, I need to do just a little bit of housekeeping.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be back to the show later. Ha 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 ha! Put on pump.
Actually, it'll be a while.
I know. No, actually, there's been some reports, and it's true, that with browser security settings, the way they are, when you come to this and that podcast, you get a big old, you know, Google thinks this site is hosting malware. So
what's malware?
You can bypass it and see the site. I don't know. It's like hosting bad stuff to your computer.
Oh,
so
we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing it. And I had my host provider, you know, do a scan of the whole site, and they've come up with nothing. So the site is safe, but I don't know how to fix it. I just don't. I'm not technically smart enough. Google does leave a little bit of information about what's going on. Like, you know, this site is hosting blah, blah, blah. But there's no reference to that site in any of my source code.
Hmm.
So if there's anybody out there that wants to give a dude a hand, you know, I'll give you what Google has told me. You can take a look at my source code, and I don't know how to fix it. I mean, it's just going to be forever like this, I guess, because I don't know what to do.
Oh, that's right. One of the listeners pointed it out, right?
Right. But I saw it last. I saw it when I posted this show last time. It's like, wow, that's odd.
Oh,
now you can bypass it. You can actually go in and tell Firefox or IE or whatever, you know, to have a lower level of error checking, whatever, and it'll let you in the site no problems. And you can still bypass it, their little warning. But I do want to tell everybody that the site is safe. It's been scanned. There's nothing there. No, it's not downloading any software, which is it's kind of shame on Google. I mean, it's nice that Google is looking at this stuff and protecting us, but they need to give the little guys like me a better information about what to do, because we want to fix it. We don't want to. We don't want to keep it there. We want to fix it. So it seems like this isn't good enough. You know, I'm using on that website is for the most part Blogger templates. You know, it's nothing fancy or anything. So Google, I mean, you know, you're a big company. There's really no way to talk to you, but. You know, help us.
Oh.
Don't just flag us without helping us. Because I don't know what to do.
How do you get unflagged?
And I'm fairly technically savvy, more savvy than your regular person. And I don't know what to do.
He is a bit of a geek, everybody.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Not geek enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
So besides just starting off and building a new site from scratch, and I don't want to do that.
Oh.
So anyways, there you go. That's my housekeeping bit.
Okay. Hey, well, back to the inauguration. Real quick, this is a historic time in terms of selling product with Obama's likeness on it.
Yes, I've been seeing a lot
amazing?
Of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so
I was just in Walgreens yesterday.
Oh, and what'd you say?
They have Obama plates.
Yes, they have Obama plates.
You know, why would I buy an Obama plate? I mean, I support the guy, but I really don't need plates.
Well, companies from PepsiCo to your local grocery chain offering cakes with Obama's face to even IKEA, which is hoping that Obama's mantra of change will get people to go buy furniture so they can change up their house. Well, all these corporate people are jumping on the Obama bandwagon, which is amazing because he's untried and it's political. And,
but they say so much of the economy is based on people's optimism.
That's right.
So
that's right. And at a time now when everybody slapped their wallet shut and nobody's buying, the symbolism of the upbeatness combined with the first black president, it's too good for many battered retailers to pass up.
Yeah.
Even Hennessy is producing a limited edition bottle of cognac with the number 44 on it. Mark Obama's 44th. And the Washington Post is going to have four separate editions on Tuesday and Wednesday. The newspapers are doing a lot of special tribute editions because they hope to print memorials, right?
How about that?
Television station QVC is planning special live broadcasts in addition to selling the Obama collectibles that range from coins to baseballs. This was the best. Ben & Jerry's has made Yes Pecan ice cream studded with pecans.
Oh, I'd try that.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
That sounds good.
Jones Soda has Orange You Glad for a Change, which is orange soda. So I went to the inauguration gift shop on Amazon.com.
Yes.
So in addition to the usual things, which would be books and posters, tote bags, t-shirts, hats, pins,
right,
ties, and bumper stickers, you can get for $24.95 a Barack Obama bobblehead. There he is.
Oh, cool.
For $15.75, and I actually saw this last night.
Not a bad price.
Urban Outfitters, you can get a 6-inch Barack Obama action figure. But surprisingly, the John McCain action figure is only going for $10. So yeah. Obama's is a little bit more. You can get an iPhone case for $18.99. You can get a Yes We Can wristband for $4.99. Or, this was my absolute favorite, you can get the Obama chia head. For $20.
It's a chia pet with an Obama head.
It's a chia pet that looks like Obama, only his hair is green chia.
I always wonder about that, though. Does anybody ever buy that?
I think it's fun gifts. I think it's gag gifts, too. I think it's
funny. Must be the gag gift thing.
Yeah. And while I was on the site, I thought this was pretty funny. The Hillary Nutcracker, just in case, for the new Secretary of State, where you put the nut between her legs and squeeze.
Ouch. Guys, are you with me?
Ouch. Means she's a ball buster.
Yes.
And then the corkscrew bill, where the corkscrew is strategically placed in his genitals, and you can get them together as a combo set. the Billary Clinton combo
That's
set.
That's funny. Yeah.
So there you have it, a little merchandise humor.
Merchandisers are trying to
they're,
do it.
Well,
I saw the retail sales plummeted 2.7% in December.
It was brutal.
One of the worst Decembers in a long, long time. So we can only go up, right?
That's right.
Well, maybe not so much.
And did you see who just decided they're closing their doors?
Yes, I did. Circuit City, right?
Circuit City, 30,000 people laid off the month of January. That's awful. And Saks and Neiman's have also downscaled.
A whole city, Circuit City. I mean, how do you just disband a town, you know?
Why didn't they sell to Best Buy?
Well, you know, I mean, right, you've got Best Buy, you've got Fry's, you got other stores, so I don't think anybody, I know I don't really care that they're gone.
Yeah.
Except the general, well, you know,
it's too bad about the 30,000 jobs, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad about the 30,000 jobs.
Right. Well, altogether, we lost 2.6 million jobs in 08, and the Wall Street Journal is keeping this chart of the biggest layoffs by quarter, it's really depressing. And what's really interesting about it when you look at it is it's hitting all sectors, which is, I mean, everybody from Chrysler to Xerox to eBay to Mattel to DHL lost 73% of its U.S. staff in the fourth quarter. To Sun Microsystems, and then, of course, all the banking segment. Citigroup, 50,000 jobs. AT&T, which is now headquartered here in Dallas. U.S. Steel, Sony, Bank of America. It just crossed everywhere. It was just amazing. And so then, now, so far, first quarter layoffs, there's been everybody from Clear Channel to AMD to Hertz to WellPoint to Barclays and Boeing. You know, and Alcoa Steel, they were 15,000 just announced. So I hear 09's going to be tough. Going to be tough.
Going to be a tough one out there.
Yep.
I know that, you know, lately I've been kind of serving a little bit, I've been doing a lot of networking, trying to help people get jobs. And been doing a lot of it. I've getting probably, I mean, you know, just using the network as much as I can, because figure what it goes around comes around, right?
Well, have you been seeing stories on this? Have you probably heard that the average college graduate earns $1 million more than the average high school diploma only person? So if you only get a high school diploma in the course of your lifetime versus somebody who has a college degree, you'll make $1 million more. And that number was bandied around a lot during the campaign. Hillary talked about it. What a lot of people are finding now is that not only are we losing blue collar jobs, but we're losing white collar jobs. And it's no guarantee that even if you have, especially if you're young and you still have a lot of college debt,
right,
it's really hard for those people to pay off. And a lot of people are now questioning whether it's really going to be true any longer that a college degree is automatically going to get you that $1 million over the course of your lifetime. There's been a couple articles about it that no longer is a college degree or an advanced degree a guarantee of employment or job security. There's an awful lot of consultants floating around, lingering longer than usual because there's no office to go back to. We're living gig to gig, which is now called gigonomics. It's coining a new term.
Yeah. Hey, I've kind of entered that, the realm of gigging. Yeah.
So it's part of a new trend where people really do want to work full time, but they're just doing, taking one gig to another. And unemployment, these numbers are going across the boards, all races, all job categories, all ages. So it's maybe the trend is that some people are saying that, college is definitely not for everybody. And why don't we look more at trade schools and actually teaching trades that are, we're, you know, losing the trades of construction and plumbing and carpentry and...
Well, we always seem to have enough to fill those positions, don't we?
Well,
I mean, how does one become a plumber now, like in today's world? If we don't have the trade school,
you don't go to a tech school.
Do you go to a tech?
Yeah, I think you go to a tech school, or because then you have to have a license to do some of this.
Absolutely.
Right.
But so, I wonder where you get that. You know,
I think it is a trade school.
Yeah.
Or computer trade schools, but you know, nursing and medical trade schools. So maybe that's more of an answer.
Yeah.
Or what's coming up.
But very directed.
That was kind of sad. Yeah.
In a profession. Well, hey, I've got some health news. And it's all about sleeping.
Hey,
today's theme.
Sleeping.
Today's health theme is all about sleeping. Basically, some researchers that researched this on fruit flies, which is kind of funny.
Do fruit flies sleep?
Apparently, they do. Who knew? How can you tell? Well, Stanford University research indicated that the immune system fights invading bacteria the hardest at night and the least during the day. Now, here's what's interesting. These results suggest that immunity is stronger at night, consistent with the hypothesis that circadian proteins upregulate restorative functions such as specific immune responses during sleep when animals are not engaged in metabolically costly activities. Is that a lot of gibberish?
Metabolic costly activities. Okay.
Yes. At any rate, so that's kind of interesting. But basically, it's saying get enough sleep. Now, here are 10 reasons to not skimp on sleep, folks, if you needed any reasons. I know sometimes there is like a social sort of, I don't know, machismo for saying, oh, yeah, I run on 5 hours
right,
a night,
right?
Because I'm working so hard or whatever, I'm so busy.
Or I don't need it is what a lot of people say. I don't need it.
Right. So here are some different reasons to make sure you get enough sleep. One is less is more. They've done studies that have shown people who sleep fewer than 7 hours a night are more obese.
Yes, I've heard that it causes weight.
That's from the 2006 study.
Do you think it's because they eat more?
I don't know. You know, it could be
because you're awake longer, so maybe you.
Well, the second one is related. You are more apt to make bad food choices. A study published this week, actually, in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine, found that people with obstructive sleep apnea or severely disordered breathing while asleep ate a diet higher in cholesterol, protein, total fat, and saturated fat, especially women.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Diabetes. A 2005 study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that people getting 5 or fewer hours of sleep were 2.5 times more likely to be diabetic. While those with 6 hours or fewer were 1.7 times more likely. 2003 study found that heart attacks were 45% more likely in women who slept for 5 or fewer hours per night than those who got more.
Wow, heart attack?
Yep. Jeez. Blood pressure may increase.
Wow.
Hypertension, blah, blah, blah. Number 6, auto accident rates. 2007 New England Journal of Medicine report said nearly 20% of serious car crash injuries involved a sleepy driver.
There you go. I would believe that.
And that's independent of alcohol use. Number 7, balance is off. It's saying older people really need to get their sleep because they could be 2 to 4.5 times more likely to have a fall, according to a 2007 study. You may be more prone to depression. Adults who chronically operate on less sleep have more mental distress, depression, and alcohol use as well. They have something about kids. Kids may suffer more behavior problems. And this is interesting. It's just in general. Those who get 5 hours or less per night have approximately 15% greater risk of dying, regardless of the cause.
Really?
According to a large population-based study.
Wow.
So get your sleep out there. It sounds like, and the thing is, in that first study I sort of suggested, it really does indicate, and I've seen some things prior to this, is that if you're sick and you want to get better sleep, your immune system just seems to work better at fighting stuff at
night.
So.
Wow. That last statistic was really something, because my boss sleeps like 3 hours a night, and he's just has always been like that. He just does not need a lot of sleep.
Yeah. And is he obese?
Nope. He recently lost a lot of weight. Nope. And he, but I didn't realize that, wow, the chances for all these other things are so high.
I mean, the problem with a study, this goes to a lot of studies, and I suppose I could dig into all the research.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of, when I read through these, all these general things, I sort of think, wow, I wonder if there's any other causal factors. Mm-hmm. In other words, are these really related or is there something else? Because, like, for example, the ones about the kids having more behavioral problems. Mm-hmm. Well, is that because they're not getting enough sleep or is that because kids who have behavior problems can't sleep regularly through the night?
Oh,
you know
what
I mean?
Saying, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, so, you know, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I got one more little observation
for
you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question, really. You know how when you get a message from somebody in their iPhone or the BlackBerry, a lot of times it'll say at the very end of the note, this message from the BlackBerry, this message sent from my iPhone.
Right.
Do you like that, appreciate it, or do you think it's highfalutin?
Oh, I thought it was there specifically so you understood why it was so short.
That's why I do it. Because the iPhone comes with a built-in one, but you can just reduce it. You can, delete it or whatever. And that's why I do it. I always said, you know, hopefully this will understand why my email is short.
And actually, I've seen a long paragraph added onto the bottom of them from some corporations where they say, this was sent from a mobile device. This may explain why there were unintentional typos, or why there was non-traditional grammar, or why it was brief or very concise. I mean, it was a really long explanation about where it came from, and I'd never seen that before.
Wow!
But yeah, I thought it was actually kind of helpful to know that if somebody just writes back four words, it wasn't because they're trying to be rude.
See, that's what I always thought too, which is why I include it.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody's
telling you
that you're being a snob?
No, they're not telling me, but I can't remember where it came up. I read that someplace that some people feel, and I guess there are people maybe that don't text or don't email from their phones, that they feel like you're being a snob a little bit by advertising you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone or whatever it is you have.
Hmm.
And I never saw that. I do like to know because I don't feel as offended if I get the four-word email. Do you know what I mean?
You definitely don't. And then it makes sense if somebody has messed up some letters or they can't get a capital correct because it's not like they're sitting at their computer.
I might do that on my iPhone, have a little bit of a bigger explanation.
I'll see if I can find the one, because it was really surprising to say, wow, this is a really long explanation.
Maybe
it was longer than the four-word text.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll have like a four-paragraph explanation.
Why my four words were wrong.
Well, one more piece of housekeeping.
Sure. More housekeeping.
Yeah, more housekeeping.
More housekeeping a lot today.
I'll be right back. I keep trying to get Gretchen onto Facebook. And actually, I think you are on Facebook. I think you just don't activate it because I think your name is on there. But anyways, we have a new This and That podcast presence on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. So come on in, Facebook. And add me as a friend and, you know, sign up to the This and That Facebook page. I don't know what we'll use it for, but we do have some pictures of Gretchen and I in the studio, which we do not have on the website. So that should give you incentive to check it out.
Okay.
Gretchen hasn't seen them because she is not a Facebook player.
I just think it's silly. And I think by this time next year, it'll be over and nobody will care about Facebook. But that's my prediction.
I differ. First of all, Facebook has just gotten a lot funner in the last year.
Where
MySpace is totally dead.
See?
No, what I'm saying though is I agree there'll be a next big thing.
Yeah, there'll be a next big thing.
But it'll be a migration of some sort. You know, it'll just be an evolving.
Right.
Social networking is cool, and I think you can't criticize it until you've actually tried it and seen it, because you will connect with people from your life that you haven't seen or heard from for a while, and it's fun. Everyone says that who tries it.
Hmm.
And then you could respond to some of your podcast fans.
I thought that's what the number at the beginning of the show was for.
That's not quite as direct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have some health news, too.
Oh, cool.
So the most least likely city in the United States to be called the fattest one by Men's Fitness Magazine would be what? What is one do you...
Oh, I would think someplace in California, maybe... I like an active city. San Diego.
No. Think Florida.
Yeah. That's the other sunshine state I was thinking. Miami.
Yep.
Which is interesting because, on a personal note, when I've gone to Miami, and I haven't been there that much, one of the things about, and I don't want to offend anybody here, but one of the things about a Hispanic woman, they can be quite curvy.
Yes.
And quite proud of that sexy curvaceousness.
Right.
And I remember noting the nightclubs in Miami, a lot of curvaceousness. So it's kind of interesting that you make that observation. And you know what? That curvaceousness and the way they wear it does indeed look sexy, without a doubt. But I wouldn't call it
necessarily
non-overweight or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. The comment has been, when you think of Miami, you think of people being outdoors showing off their bodies.
Sure.
So it surprised the editors of the magazine, and the results are coming out in the February issue. They looked at a dozen categories, including percentage of overweight citizens, number of fitness centers, and sports stores. Miami received poor marks because of a large number of overweight people, a high rate of TV viewing among residents, long commutes, and poor air quality. Three times as many fast food restaurants as the average city. And participation is low in outdoor activities such as biking, running, and fitness. The city doesn't invite people to walk because of all these highways. So Dietitian says that many immigrants she works with choose inexpensive, high-calorie foods, or they cook the wrong foods at home. And
well, you know what? When people think of Miami, they think of South Beach and the beautiful and the beautiful people. But that's not part of it.
The exceptions are Miami Beach, Coconut Grove, and South Beach.
Right.
Right. And then, on the other hand, the fittest city in the United States was Salt Lake City. It got high marks for low obesity rates, athletically motivated residents, and low TV viewing.
How cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Close to the mountains, so fresh air.
In previous years, Philadelphia and Oklahoma City were dubbed the fattest. So now, here's the top 10.
Is that right?
Yep, in the top 10. Okay, so Miami was first. I'll tell you, Louisville, Kentucky was 10.
Right, so Miami is the fattest?
This is the fattest. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Louisville, Kentucky is the 10th. Ninth is Charlotte, North Carolina. Eighth is Jacksonville. And here comes the Texas contingent. Huh. Seventh is El Paso. Sixth is Houston. Five is New York, which I thought was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Four is Las Vegas, which again I thought was really surprising.
Yeah, kind of surprised.
Kind of surprised. Three is San Antonio.
What do you think? You spent a decent amount of San Antonio.
I guess you see the overweightness, but
you see that in every city.
Yeah, but and that's got nice weather. I mean, that's
right.
Another one like Miami that you're out. You know, you can be outside a lot.
Right.
You can be outside 300 days a year, no problem. And number two was Oklahoma City, which was number one in a previous study. So
here's my question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Again, I'm guessing that there is two or three other factors that go into there, possibly ethnic considerations, possibly demographic age thing, because younger people are going to probably be a little bit tilt the balances towards lighter, I would guess.
Public parks and the availability of exercising.
Mountain cities are going to be, you know, as Salt Lake City came out, I'll bet Denver is kind of up there too.
Denver's usually always up there, yeah.
I don't know, but I bet there's other factors in there that you'd think studies like this would include, because what's the point of doing this study if we don't learn something from it and then have the ability to potentially even do something in city planning or do something in policy making or whatever.
They said Philly is actually working on it because they're not on the list now, which is good. But Oklahoma City still is. So I guess they still need to do some work. But they're not trying to embarrass these cities. They're just trying to report their findings.
Right. Well, I have, on a related note, there's a fellow named Barry Popkin who wrote a book on why the world is fat. That's what he called it. Now, he's a director of the University of North Carolina's Interdisciplinary Obesity Center.
Uh-huh.
Go figure, you know.
Interdisciplinary Obesity Center.
Yes.
Wow.
So interdisciplinary.
That probably didn't even exist 10 years ago.
Interdisciplinary obviously means it draws from, you don't get a major in obesity.
Right.
But
can you imagine?
But he has a book, and basically, I'm going to give you the outline of the book. He's got 10 reasons. What is it? 10? 7 tidbits on that are interesting. First of all, Americans are not the only ones getting fatter. Now, and he goes on, we are the poster children.
But Europe is coming up behind us.
We're leading the edge.
Because remember, we exported all the stuff, all our bad stuff to Europe.
Yes.
We gave them McDonald's.
We are the leading edge, but
Kentucky
the rest
fried.
Of the world isn't far behind. In fact, half the population is overweight or obese in Russia and Eastern Europe.
Huh.
Much of Latin America and South America, the Middle East, and Australia as well. Half.
Wow.
He blames it on a complex cocktail of forces from globalization to technology to just the way we eat now culturally. That is the anytime, anywhere sort of idea.
Mm.
Okay, another tidbit. The average American gets 400 calories a day from beverages.
Wow.
And that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
In fact, he says, you're looking for a single way to reduce your calorie load? Just don't drink this crap.
Wow.
He suggests cutting out the caloric drinks, such as non-diet colas, flavored waters, fruit juices, lattes, blah, blah, blah. Research suggests that our bodies do not get the same satiety response. In other words, we're not as satisfied from liquid calories as those taken in solid form. So you drink more.
Huh.
Number three, the U.S. pretty much stands alone in sugar recommendations. Now, this is interesting, Gretchen. The World Health Organization recommends that added sugars account for no more than 10% in a healthy diet. But the official U.S. dietary guideline, they don't offer a strict number, but the American Dietetic Association endorses a 25% upper limit. Interesting.
Hmm.
So This is also very interesting. National guidelines can be confusing. I mean, think about this. There's really no one cohesive source of good information. So, here's some examples. The American Diabetic Association is focused on sugar, but does not take total calories into account when endorsing products. The American Heart Association focuses on fat, also to the exclusion of calories. And nuts and seeds may not be recommended by some groups because they're high in calories, even though they have a lot of nutritional benefits. So he did say there's some good news out there. Some grocery stores are developing their own nutritional rating systems for products.
Oh, my Lord.
But part of the problem is it's all over the map.
Right.
Do we eat less fats? Do we eat less sugars? You know, what do we focus on? Another one is some food companies are doing good, but still there's a lot of confusion out there. But companies like Danone, who make the yogurt, Kraft Foods, Coca-Cola, TGI Fridays, and General Mills, among others, are quietly cutting sugar and caffeines in certain products, offering portion-controlled entrees for less money.
Hmm.
So there's some people doing good things, obviously, because it means business. But
mm-hmm.
Another interesting tidbit. What he's saying is that... not a surprise, a lot of manufacturers of clothing are making what they used to be a size 8, now they're calling it a size 6. Used to be a size 8, a 6 instead. Something that he believes will help create complacency about what a normal body size is. So in other words, you may feel good because you're in a smaller size, but that's because manufacturers are shifting
their size models.
The size
models. Wow.
Interesting, huh?
That's unbelievable.
But at the end of the day, he says it's all about total calories and about exercising, just mm-hmm. like we always preach on mm-hmm. this show. And he says, you know,
it just seems so common sense.
And that's what mm-hmm. most health advocates say. But anyways, I thought those were pretty interesting.
Interesting. Between that and the sleep. Wow.
Yes.
Well, so what'd you think about the child in New Jersey named Adolf Hitler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
is that something else? Did you hear the interview with his parents?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that.
Oh, my goodness. Not exactly all there. But for those of you who haven't heard, a couple weeks ago, a local supermarket refused to make a birthday cake with the child's name on it.
Right.
His name is Adolf Hitler. And recently, he was taken away from his parents by local authorities, but nobody was saying why. He has a sister, Jocelyn Lynn Aryan Nation, an 8-month-old Hans Lynn Hindler Jenny.
And you have a problem with those names?
Well, sort of.
This is a free country. I don't know what your problem is. Are you a commie?
That is the father's rationale here. His name is Heath Campbell. They're just names, you know. He says, yes, the Nazis were bad people back then, but my kids are little. They're not going to grow up like that. And he's saying they're not going to grow up with any hate in them at all. He does, however, as the camera panned around his home.
They're going to grow up with a lot of hate around them with those names.
As the camera panned around their wall hangings, there were swastikas on the walls, and supposedly they deny that the Holocaust ever existed.
I'm sure. Come on. They named their kids Himmler and Hitler and Aryan Nation. I mean, come on. These are not gentle people.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that sad? What do you do with something like that? Can you imagine being the teachers?
Can you outlaw it? I guess you can't.
Can you change their names? I mean, but yeah, I get it. I guess it does tread on freedom. You know, freedom of speech.
Well, you know, the kid's middle name is Adolf Hitler, so maybe in life, when he gets old enough, he goes and legally gets that taken out. I would.
And he becomes Adolf? Adolf Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh my!
Even Adolf, the name
Adolf
makes you
not
raise.
So great. Oh man! So
that's funny. Well, I have a story of a company that went bust. I bought a toothbrush called the Ultrio. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's like a super subsonic automatic toothbrush, and it's kind of expensive, and the brush heads are kind of expensive. And I've used it for about.
So it's like Sonicare, or
Sonicare, but it's ultrasound versus. Ultrasound and just super fast, like the Sonicare is, and Sonic, I guess they call it.
Okay.
So I've used it for about 6 to 8, 9 months. Really didn't notice too much difference. But I'm not sure I buy that it was great. And I've also heard some people that said theirs failed. Now, this is what's interesting. I was at my dental hygienist's, the dentist a few months ago, and we were talking about the Altrio, and I said, you know, what do you think about this thing? And she goes, you know, I got one. I bought one. I got it. You know, she got a discount being a hygienist. And she said, I used it for a while and it broke.
Mm-hmm.
And but she said, I think I liked it. I think I thought it would work pretty well. And then she said this, and I just could not believe it. She said, they wouldn't replace it.
After it broke?
Now, not only after it broke, but she's a dental hygienist. I mean, if you're making some kind of fancy, dancy consumer dental product,
right.
Don't you give these things and plaster it
that's
to
right.
all the dental hygienists
you
possibly
them to say
can?
Nothing but good things.
Yeah. That's the best distribution network around,
right.
isn't it?
Because they've got your captive audience for an hour. Right.
And at that moment, Gretchen, I knew the company was going to fail.
Oh my God. And did it really?
Yeah.
It failed.
Yeah. It just failed like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
There's a good lesson in customer service.
I mean, they were involved last year about this time, last year February, they were involved in a back and forth lawsuit with the makers of Sonicare because, you know, they made some claims and Sonicare refuted those claims and made some counterclaims. And so they were in legislation with these guys. What is this?
So all their money went to legal fees. Instead of refunding broken units.
Yeah, and then the CEO who started it, he's basically an ex-Sonicare exec. He stepped down last February. So don't know why he really stepped down. But my guess is I've heard more reports, not only my dental hygienist who had a bad, you know, mine makes noise. Huh. So I don't think they were built very well. And they're expensive. So,
and now what are you going to do if they're out of business? Where,
it's
how are
okay.
you gonna get
I'll just
new,
go back to my Sonicare.
Yeah.
I won't. I did order two more from Amazon. They ended up having two more. I ordered from one place and they didn't have them.
Huh.
So I'll take those two and that'll be it. And, yeah. I'm okay with that. It wasn't a product that just made me go,
wow.
Which I was kind of expecting. But so, you know. Good riddance, but it's very interesting that they would not give her a replacement brush. Their best in touch how to win the consumer over.
Yeah, that is yeah.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Well, so have you heard about the divorcing doctor who wants his kidney back in the state
no.
of New York? He's a Long Island surgeon, and he's embroiled in a 4-year divorce with his estranged wife. He had donated a kidney to her, and now that they're getting divorced, he wants the kidney back, or he wants $1.5 million in compensation for it.
Oh, come on. Is there any legal precedence for that at all?
He decided to go public with his demand for the kidney compensation because he had grown frustrated with the negotiations. He claimed that he wasn't being able to see their 3 children, and that he gave her the kidney in June of 2001, and she filed for divorce in 2005, and he claims that she had an affair about 2 years ago after receiving the kidney transplant. And so there is no precedent of this happening. A Manhattan attorney says a good doctor is out of luck and out of a kidney. It's similar to cases where the husband wants to be repaid for the cost of breast implants and such. Our judges are not willing to value such assets, so to speak. So he said he had no regrets about donating the kidneys, but he did have regrets about the failed marriage.
Well, it sounds like to me, I mean, from a practical standpoint, it's really not about the kidney.
No,
it wasn't.
It was about
it's about the whole lawsuit and
pressure on her to see the kids.
Getting leverage.
Right.
Yes.
So the other freaky medical story that went along with that is I had to cut this out because I couldn't believe when I was reading it that I was really reading what I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the headline. Inmate pulls out only eye, says he ate it.
Okay, I heard something on the radio about this.
You want to just
and I didn't.
Die?
I meant to dive into that.
Oh my
tell me
Lord!
About it.
He's a Houston death row inmate. He has a history of mental problems.
No.
He pulled out his only good eye, and then officers said he ate it. He's 25 years old. He was arrested for fatally stabbing his ex-wife and their son and their 13-month-old daughter in 2004
Ooh.
And ripping the hearts out of their bodies.
Ooh.
Oh, God,
Ooh.
It's just gross. So now he's in this county jail. Oh, when he was in county jail, he plucked out his right eye before the trial in 2004. The judge subsequently ruled that he was still competent to stand trial. Then last month, in the Criminal Justice Department of Corrections, they found him in his cell with blood on his face. They took him to the infirmary, and they said he pulled out the other eye. I mean, is this just unbelievable or what? And so now he is finally getting, he's at a psychiatric prison facility. He's finally receiving the mental health care that he wanted and begged for from day one. He is insane. This is his lawyer speaking. He is insane and mentally ill. This is the exact same reason he pulled out the last one. I'm sorry. You shouldn't laugh. But is that something else? I just couldn't believe that I read that right.
I wonder how hard that is to pull out the guy.
I wonder how hard it is to eat it. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Is that... Oh, God. Well, so, okay, enough of kidney and eye talk.
I'm disgusted.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't believe that.
Isn't I know.
That just so unusual?
Is it unusual? It sounds like he could start a trend. I'm just thinking how tasty my eye might be. In fact, I could pull out both and have a little eye treat. Pop them like candy.
But then you might have some problems in the future.
But then I couldn't see anymore.
Then you might be blind, you know?
I'll pull out my worse eye first.
Yeah, pull out the bad one.
Well, did you see this, Gretchen? Australia is offering the best job in the world. They have, for $150,000 Australian dollars salary, that's about $105 here.
Okay.
It includes free airfare for the winner's home country to Hamilton, Hamilton Island on the Great Barrier Reef. In return, the island caretaker will be expected to stroll the white sands, snorkel the reef, take care of a few minor tasks, and report to a global audience via weekly blogs, photo diaries, and video updates. The successful applicant, who will stay rent-free in a three-bedroom beach house, complete with plunge pool and golf buggy, must be a good swimmer, excellent communicator, and be able to speak and write English. They'll also have to talk to media from time to time about what they're doing, so they can't be too shy, and they have to love the sea, the sun, and the outdoors. So there's a website here, and you can apply until February 22nd. I tried to go to the website, and I couldn't. I really should try it again.
You should try. You should apply. Yeah. Doesn't it sound like something fun for you?
Sounds awesome, and I think I'd be good at it.
Well, I know,
I'd do all that media stuff. You know, I could be fine being interviewed and everything.
Right,
and I like snorkeling and scuba diving and all that fun stuff.
Right.
And
All right.
I can speak English usually.
Yes, you can. All right, let's start the campaign for Jeff to win the world's best job. Wait, no, Australia's best job, right?
And it's probably only a one-year gig, and I could probably come, because I would take a little bit of a pay cut.
But you'd come back really tan.
It would be a blast. Just think of the chicks.
Wait, is this a sparsely populated area?
No, this is a vacation resort.
Oh, area. It is?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, but the Australian government's trying to do this because they just want to do something different to get to attract attention, you know? Oh. And so it's all part of their Department of Tourism thing. Anyway, the website, well, I'm not going to tell you guys the website.
Because he doesn't want the competition.
I know. It's islandfreejob.com.
All right.
Oh, no, Island Reef Job, sorry.
Island Reef.
Islandreefjob.com.
Wow.
So I tried to go there when I first pulled this article up a couple of weeks ago, and it was being bombarded. I mean, I would imagine they'll be bombarded. There's no way you're going to get this job because everybody, I'm sure, wants it.
Yeah.
But I could, I say, hey, I do a biweekly podcast.
And you're a blogger. And
yes, I do. And I'm a Facebooker.
You're a Facebooker. And
I'm a Facebooker. And who does that? I mean, who has a Facebook, right? So, I mean, I'm very uniquely qualified. Not.
Well, have you been sexting on your iPhone?
Sexting? How do you sext?
You take a photo of yourself, nude or semi-nude, and then you send it to someone. And it's all the rage with teenagers now.
Oh, my gosh.
Sexting from cell phone is the hot new flirting trend.
Well, first of all, let me just say something about the iPhone. The one thing, well, there's a number of things.
You didn't care for the camera, right?
No, the camera's fine in daylight. Right. It actually is fine in daylight. It's great for snapping quick pictures, like the naked picture. I'm doing a weird face right now. No, but the iPhone is not very good. I can take mobile pictures, and I could take a picture right now on my iPhone, and I could send it via email just fine.
Right.
What I can't do is text it. Like, a lot of phones, you can text pictures to each other. And
oh,
the
right,
iPhone,
right.
You cannot do that.
You can't do that. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, then maybe you won't be sexting because
well,
you're
I
not
would
exactly
never be
a
doing
teen.
That.
22% of teenage girls and 18% of boys have taken nude or semi-nude photos and sent them to someone or posted them online.
Ooh. And that'll third, never come back
and
in on them.
And a third of young adults between 20 and 26 have done the same. And they say that it is simply digital flirting. Is that incredibly bad?
That'll never come back
oh,
and haunt them.
Oh, my Lord. Often the pictures do not stay private. Statistics clearly indicate that they are shared, usually after a breakup.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I'm sure there's lots of pictures of ex-girlfriends and boyfriends out there
can you
that
imagine?
Are in compromising
but then,
positions.
But then here's the one that was really interesting. This happens to be my my alma mater. This is my high school.
I mean, my mom and dad say they do that.
Do they? They sex to each other? Oh, your mom is wild.
I'm just wow, kidding because I know my mom listens to this.
Mrs. A-Strike, what you thinking? Ooh. Well, in my hometown of Greensburg, Pennsylvania, six high schoolers were found to be exchanging nude pictures of themselves via text message in November, and they were charged with child pornography.
Really?
Is that incredible?
So can children be charged with child pornography?
I find that hard to believe, but
that's a stretch.
Yeah, well, three unidentified girls, they were 14 and 15, sent nude pictures of themselves to three boys, 16 and 17. The school found it when they looked at one of the kids' phones because they confiscated it because it was being used illegally during school hours.
But wouldn't it be the men who would be charged because they're the ones in possession of the child?
Oh, right, right. It
wouldn't be the girls,
right.
Yeah.
It came on the heels of a similar story when it took place in Seattle, where the Seattle teenagers were kicked off the cheerleading team, but the Greensburg teenagers were charged as criminals. So, isn't that interesting? Just be careful, kids. Your past will come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that
that's
might be fun
unreal.
When you're 18, but when those pictures are floating around and you're looking for professional work 10
oh,
years.
Oh, my Lord.
That's not cool.
That is so not cool. I know you're not thinking about it now, but
I know.
It'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Well.
You don't want that. So I'm kind of bummed. I don't know. Well, you don't know because you don't see my Facebook, but I wrote some...
What am I missing, Jeff?
No, you're missing a lot.
What am I missing?
Well, you know, I love the French press coffee.
Yes?
Press coffee. Uh-huh. It's the only way I can... I love it. I drink it daily. Now, well, actually, this research is actually 2 years old, but I just came across it because who was I talking... Oh, my boss at work. Was telling me we're talking about coffee, and I said, "Yeah, I'm crazy. I get up every morning and make my French press because I just love it so much." And she goes, "You know, I would do that too, but my husband told me that French press is dangerous."
Really?
And I said, "That's what I said." I go, "Oh, really?
Oh no!
Well, I'm going to Google that later on.
Just
thanks
French
for
press?
Telling me.
Just French press?
Well, I'll get into that in the research.
Wow!
It is true. There's two things that are going on here. Essentially, it makes your cholesterol worse because, and this is pretty remarkable, if you use a filtered coffee, like a paper filter, typical mm-hmm. drip or whatever, that filters out a lot of the oils that make the coffee wonderful, okay? But also, within these oils is something called cafestol, C-A-F-E-S-T-O-L. And there's been study after study. I shouldn't say I'm misleading that. There's been a couple studies that have shown that this cafestol can increase cholesterol. Let's see here.
And it's not filtered out in a French press.
No, there's no filtering at all.
Because French presses don't use filters.
The only filter is a metal press.
Is a piece of metal.
Piece of metal that is sort of part of the press.
Oh, part
mechanism.
Of the unit.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of technical stuff here, but there's also so we have that with the cholesterol. And then there's also a Dutch study that also says there is identified an increase in blood levels of an enzyme that is normally associated with damage to liver cells. Now, they don't know that much about this yet, but
well,
it's
that
sort
a bummer?
Of, it's a big bummer.
Because you like the flavor of it.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. It's just the only way
so much better,
to me to
right?
drink coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, a couple of people posted different things on Facebook as a response. My mom, thanks, Mom. She said, you know, but you do have bad cholesterol. Well, the truth is, the last time I was at the doctor, I am right on the cusp. And
wow.
This may be what's putting me in the cusp because I wasn't before.
You need to eat oatmeal then.
And then another friend of mine basically said, well, you know, moderation is everything. Maybe you just don't have it every day. And I think that's probably the most practical advice.
Or have as much, right?
Well, I don't have the, you know, I don't have that much. I have one cup.
One cup.
Yeah. I mean, not a coffee cup, but like a Starbucks.
A tall cup.
Tall cup, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I only have one cup a day. But I could follow the suggestion and have it every other day. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of gives me something to look forward to every other day. I mean, I don't hate drip coffee. I just love my French press. Once I went there, I didn't want to go back.
Right.
So it was really funny, though. So I'm like all over the internet looking for research that says all these studies are dumb.
Yeah, you want proof that the French press is okay. I think you need to write to the French Press Association.
I know.
And ask them for their take on this report.
I don't think there is a French Press Association because, you know, I mean, coffee is coffee.
Right.
So the only incentive, people that would be incentivized to this would be actually Bodum, the makers
the manufacturers
of the glass press.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if that's big business or anything. But now, I will have to say, I think there's more to the story. I think, first of all, in one of these studies, they showed that cholesterol levels went up, but that as they kept drinking it, it actually went down.
Huh.
Now, that's weird.
That is weird.
And also, it seemed like the two studies that I found were not long enough.
Huh.
So
maybe you could volunteer to be one of them.
And one of them, they were drinking a liter of coffee a day. Now, how much is a liter? That's like... So half a quart or two quarts? I should know this. I think it's... No, it can't be two quarts. Who would drink two quarts a day? A liter... No, it's a gallon. That kiss can't be right.
It's their equivalent of how we measure gas.
It's about a gallon,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
It can't possibly... That is literally what the study said. A liter per day. I mean, maybe they're trying to do it to create a scientific conclusion in a fast amount of time.
Right.
But that's ridiculous.
It's a lot of coffee.
That's 64 close to 64 ounces. That's
okay. Now Jeff's picking the picking the study apart.
I am going to tear this study apart because I want my darn
pressed
pot
press
coffee.
And he doesn't want his cholesterol to go up.
I know.
Well, maybe if you ate oatmeal, you'd counterbalance the
I do.
Effects.
I do. I eat a 7-grain whole grain cereal.
Oh. So, since you and I have been working roughly the same amount of time, okay, in the workplace, so do you know how much a woman makes on average compared to a man?
How much woman makes?
A woman makes. Mm-hmm.
Woman make.
Woman make.
Woman make bread. Make sex.
And we also
make.
Make
bread.
And we also.
No, I don't know. What is the current?
We have typically made 75 cents to a man's dollar.
Okay, yeah, that sounds
about
right.
And now it's actually up to 78 cents to a man's dollar.
All right, so quit your complaining.
I know. No, I need to shut up. But the Equal Pay Act was passed in 1963. God, that was just a couple years after we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still don't make full amount of dollars. And the question is, there's a lot of loopholes in the law. And there are factors like job segregation and caregiving roles that come into mind. So there's maternal profiling is the new buzz term for it. But there's two bills coming up next year, one called the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would force employers to justify pay differences and would increase penalties for discrimination. And then there's another one that said that the Supreme Court overruled an act that said that women had to sue within 180 days of the start of pay discrimination, because how on earth do you figure out within 180 days that you're being unfairly paid? Because most of the time you don't even know you're being
right.
You're being, and especially when you're new, you're not going to find out any of that.
Right.
I mean, so they just said that 180 days was ridiculous. So they struck that down. And it's particularly noticeable as we go on in the workforce. Between 15 and 24, there's not much pay difference between men and women. It's only like $3,000 and men making more than women. But between 25 and 44, it starts to creep up like $10,000, men making more than women. And then between 45 and 64, men are making more than $20,000 more than women. And I think that's probably because women stop to have children.
I was just going to say, isn't part of that is not going to go away because women sometimes will make that career choice of staying home for a while.
Right.
Which is natural and fine and good, and we shouldn't be criticized for that.
It's just going to start to really affect us more because when women are paid less, their Social Security payments are lower and pensions are usually lower. And now as the population ages, it's going to become a bigger concern.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
That's interesting.
But closing the gap slowly, you know, because I remember when I first started working, it was like maybe 74 cents and now it's 78.
Yep.
You know, so maybe in my lifetime. We'll see.
Interesting. Well, do you have a toll tag?
Yes, I do.
So did you, when you get a rental car or something, do you take your toll tag with you?
No, I pay cash.
You pay cash. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you knew that
except one time I had the rental car for a long time and I called and I gave them the rental car number and then I moved the toll tag.
So you knew this. I didn't know this. So so here's what's been going on. I've been driving in my new car for 3 months or so.
Yeah.
With my toll tag going through the tolls and getting the green light, you know.
Did they give you a big old fine?
No, I haven't gotten anything yet.
Oh, okay.
But this is just a toll tag problem. First of all, I had no idea. So I thought once I had my toll tag, I'm fine.
It's registered to the specific plate.
It's registered to two things. It's registered to a person and it's registered to a plate.
Plate, right.
Now I went online and changed my plate number today.
Right.
And I'll call them up tomorrow. And apparently lots of people have this problem because they don't know. Because I have rented cars in the past.
Uh-huh. And you just moved
Took
it with you?
Yeah, took it with me. And I don't know what happened with the payments on that. But here's what's interesting. If you go to my account online, it's still charging me because it knows that it's my toll tag.
I see.
But the problem is, and to me, this is really a toll tag issue.
But whoever bought your new car may also be getting it free.
Right.
Or bought your old car.
Right.
May be getting it free.
They might be getting my bill, which is one speculation.
That's true.
But here's the thing. When you make these calls, like I'll have to call them up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I've called
when
them
you have
times.
To call them up for this, they have to man these things when they could just easily have a system written to deal with this. So, because right now, for example, they're billing an account, but they're not billing me. It's really, you know, it's really, really dumb. Anyways, I'll straighten it out. And the good news is, my friend who was just kind of telling me an aside about this said they do that. This happens a lot and they do have fines.
Mm-hmm, they do.
But they actually are very kind about it and will usually waive the fines because, you know, it's not malicious. It's not intentional. It's like, really?
I've been in rental cars and I've just driven right through in the past, realized what I did.
That happens.
And I called them and said, hey, this was the plate I had. I'm sorry. Just charged my account. I didn't even realize I didn't have
it. Yeah.
So, yeah, they seem pretty nice and pretty cool about it.
Yeah.
And so, but they do work during regular business hours.
So what if you have a rental car? Well, and actually, I'm kind of glad I didn't know this because I think all will be fine when I call, you know.
Uh-huh.
But had I known this, I went online and checked this out. When you buy a car like I did and you have temporary plates for 2 or 3 weeks, you're just not supposed to use it at all. Of course, I used it because I didn't know.
Right.
But, and again, I'm using it. Toll tag knows about it. The green is going on. So the money is getting billed. So of course I think, everything's okay.
Right.
Right. And ultimately I will end up paying them because there is an account that this stuff is being charged to.
Right.
But you know, had I known that, then what that would have meant is for 3 weeks I would have had to go through the toll booth. And the reason we don't like doing that is just because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a little more time.
And sometimes they're not manned now because they had budget cuts.
So. Right, right. So sometimes you got to have that exact change, and that's a real pain. So in a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't know about that. But it's been like two and a half months, I guess. And I just looked at my friend and was like, wow, really?
I'm surprised.
So I wonder what would have happened eventually because I haven't received anything from them, you know? I think it's a wacky, kind of goofy system. I understand why they do it, I think. It's so that they don't encourage toll tag theft. That's probably what the motivating factor
is. Right, so nobody breaks into your car just to take your toll tag thinking they're going to work anywhere. Right.
But it does work anywhere. So it seems to kind of defeat the purpose.
Hear that, criminals? For all you criminal element out there, it does work.
I never got red light. It works. If you take my toll tag right now and go ride the tollway, it'll work. So I don't really get what they got cooking up at the toll tag authority.
The NTTA.
The NTTA, yeah. Anyways.
Oh, well, stay tuned, listeners, for the next installment of Jeff's dilemma with the NTTA.
Yeah, we'll see
we'll
what
see
they
if
say.
You, if you get hauled off to jail.
Yeah, no, somehow I don't think it's a jailing offense. Anyways, I guess that's the show.
That's it.
So we see you in February in a Obama nation.
That's right. Obama administration. Here he comes.
Yep.
That's right.
All right.
All right, listeners. Bye.
Bye.